The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. Dom, I've been busy booking a great show. We've got Charles Franklin, New Market University Law School polling in the 5 o'clock hour. We've got our pal Bill Press, pundit, friend, podcaster Bill Press in the happy hour, happier hour. And right from the top, Dom, we bring back Joe Walsh, the returning champion. Joe, a former Republican congressman, a former presidential candidate, hopefully a friend of ours. Joe, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Joe.
Leadoff batter. I've always been the cleanup batter. This is BS, but I'll take it.
You want to stick around, do a little bonus coverage? We are doing a debate. We tomorrow night, Joe, you could stay a little bit later. But first and foremost, welcome back, Joe. And I would wonder, are you eagerly anticipating the biggest debate of your lifetime, sir?
Not eagerly, but I am anticipating. I can't tell a lie. Not eagerly.
Joe, what would you expect? Obviously, the first time Biden and Trump debated, it was a bit of a crap show. Trump continuously interrupted candidate Biden. And, you know, it was a little bit hard to watch. Joe, do you think we'll see something similar?
Look, here's the drill. Here's the deal. Trump is who he is. He's an utterly horrible human being. And every time I go on TV, every time I go on the radio, every time I go anywhere, I just want to remind everybody, Donald Trump is the only president in the history of America who lost an election and refused to concede, refused to participate in the peaceful transfer of power, and then he tried to overthrow that election. I have to get that out first. What I expect tomorrow is, look, this race is a dead heat right now. I don't think Trump has anything to prove. Everybody knows who and what Trump is. Joe Biden has a lot to prove. He has one thing to prove. And if he can't prove that, he's not going to win. Biden has to prove he's not too old, period. He has to prove he's up to the job, period. If he can do that, I think he'll win.
Joe, have you noted they're calling him Jacked Up Joe and claiming he's on drugs or Mountain Dew or something? This seems like a strange thing to cast upon sleepy Joe Biden. He can't have it both ways, but of course they want it both ways. He's completely asleep at the wheel until debate time. Then they give him the drugs. So, Joe, what do you think of this whole drug test the president? Why won't Biden take a drug test? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, Mike, you're right. Look, it's Trump. I need to remind everybody, and I say this as somebody who was a Republican my whole life until 3 or 4 years ago. This party is Trump's, and he's an idiot, and he's a bad, bad person. So he says things like they're going to juice Biden up. They're going to put drugs into him. Again, Trump has always said stuff like this. What makes me sad is all the other Republicans – who now say the same damn thing because it's Trump's party and he's their dear leader.
Folks, you're listening
to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Joe Walsh, our guest, host of White Flag with Joe Walsh. You can find him on the Twitters as well. I appreciate you coming around, Joe. It sounds to me, sir, you think that this is Joe Biden's debate to lose, but let me be the Devil's Advocates for a moment, if I may. sounds like a lot of people are going to be watching this thing. And presumably, there's going to be a lot of people that really haven't made up their mind or haven't, you know, pulled their head out or gotten away from the work of the kids or the family or the parents enough to really dial down. I know it's hard to believe, but maybe there's some folks like that out there. And they turn this thing on and they see Donald Trump, you know, rambling about sharks and electrocution and batteries and how he's the snake. Don't you think there's a huge possibility that would turn a whole lot of people off?
No. By the way, I agree with you. I think there are a lot more people undecided than all the experts say. And I talk to a lot of these people every day. And what they tell me is, Joe, I know Trump is a a-hole. I know he's a bad person. But Joe Biden is too old. And so I don't know what I'm going to do, Joe. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. Trump's not going to change. Trump's always going to be an a-hole, a bad guy. Biden's the one who's got to show he's not too old. And my worry is that if a voter goes into the booth in November and they have to decide between the horrible guy and the old guy, a lot of Americans will choose the a-hole. That's why this is on Biden, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I feel like we're a little numb to it. At least I am. I've heard him. We listened to him. We have gone to all the rallies over the years. And while, you know, maybe I'm numb to it, if you're not dialed in like that or part of the mega crowd, some of the things he says and how he acts, I think will, in fact, turn some people off, Joe. But I want to ask you a question. I was on the Twitter feed and looking to see if you followed to see that. But I wanted to ask
Damn
you specifically
about
one of your
guys? I need
posts.
To follow you.
At Devil Radio, baby. Well, you put one up last week, Joe.
And I
that's all right. I messaged you. You put one up last week about your past and about how hard it was to watch like video of you when you first started politics. I think you said you were a divisive political a-hole. And I appreciate the sentiment, Joe. And
oh, no, Joe. Question, oh, go ahead.
I lost you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe. Folks, we got Joe Walsh. Don may come back with a complete thought at some point here momentarily. Joe, let me ask you. 34 felony convictions of candidate Trump. How do you think that has affected the electorate?
I think it's helped Trump. I think that case in particular has helped Trump because it was a stretch to bring that indictment against him. Look, he's guilty. He's a convicted felon. But that's the luckiest thing that happened to Trump. Trump tried to overthrow the election. He hasn't been put on trial for that yet. He tried to overthrow Georgia's election. He hasn't been put on trial for that yet. He purposely took classified docs and then tried to prevent them from being retrieved. He hasn't been put on trial for that yet either. So the only thing he's been put on trial for is this New York thing, paying off, you know, hush money to a porn star that he had sex with. Most Americans don't care about that trial. So I think that's helped Trump.
Joe, let me ask you, if we assume you're either a Biden voter or a Trump voter, and the Trump voters are going to be completely non-moved mostly by the felony convictions in New York, and the Biden people weren't going to vote for the man anyways. So the only people really still out there deciding, Joe, are perhaps low information, low propensity voters, people that maybe don't go to the ballot box every midterm. So do you think simply seeing the headline guilty, felonies, does any of that have affect on the undecideds, Joe?
I think it's a net plus for Trump, and here's why. Since he was convicted, a month ago, Republicans have all rallied around him. I know a lot of Republicans. I used to be a Republican. I know a lot of Republicans who can't stand Trump. And even they were pissed off because those convictions didn't seem fair. I think it would have been a whole different ball game if Trump had been convicted for January 6th, trying to overthrow the election. That would have been a whole different conviction. But I think a lot of independents and Republicans think this one was BS.
Joe, I get that. And, you know, I watched that trial and at least the coverage of the trial we didn't actually have inside the courtroom. I am waiting on the U.S. Supreme Court like everybody is. Do you think we will have an immunity ruling this week? And if so, do you think it will affect the conversation at the debate?
I don't think we'll have one this week. It would impact the debate tomorrow night if it came down tomorrow. Look, I can't fathom how the Supreme Court would grant total immunity to Donald Trump. Then a president, then Joe Biden could literally have Donald Trump taken out right now. So that's not going to happen. But what the Supreme Court is doing is they're delaying. They're purposely playing along with Trump's delay game to push that trial beyond the election. And that's outrageous. That's justice delayed.
Joe Walsh, what has been your reaction when we find out the partisan, at least flag flying of the Alito family, they have obviously shown their colors. And we hear these things, but there seemingly is no way to force a Supreme Court justice to recuse. So we literally have Alito ruling on whether or not this guy gets immunity and he's flying the flag upside down or blame it on the wife. But you get the point, sir.
I get the point, my friend. I totally get the point, my friend. Look, this Supreme Court, and I'm a conservative. I'm an originalist when it comes to the courts. But this Supreme Court has gotten overly political, way too political. And they are unaccountable. As a former congressman, I would say this could be a battle of the branches of government. Congress may need to weigh in with legislation trying to hold the Supreme Court accountable. Because otherwise, they're going to have to regulate and hold themselves accountable. And I don't see them doing that. Right now, it's a political issue, and Biden ought to make it a campaign issue.
Joe, as a former congressman, did you ever receive $4 million plus in goods and travel from any political donors?
No, if I had, I wouldn't be speaking to you two right now.
That would have been a crime as a congressman, right? But somehow
yeah,
it's permitted.
Crime. It's allowed as a Supreme Court justice. And they barely have to report this stuff. It's wrong.
Well, and they get to write their own recusal rules, too. I love that. Joe Walsh. Exactly. Buddy, don't be a stranger. We'll catch up with you real soon. And
you're the best, guys. Thank you.
At Devil Radio, do it for Dom. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Join us, 844-967-2789. It is going to be a big show. We started with Joe Walsh. Not that one. The other one. Bill Press, our friend, podcaster, pundit. And Charles Franklin got new Marquette University Law School polling out today. Shocker! It's very, very close. More Devils.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Radio show. Love it when you join the political party on the lines. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dom, want to thank our most recent guest, one of three big guests on this program, Joe Walsh, former congressman, former presidential candidate, coming up in the happy hour, 5 o'clock central, Bill Press. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster. He's a friend of ours. Bill joins at 5. And new Marquette University Law School polling out, Charles Franklin, also in the happy hour at 5:30. And you can join us right now, 844-967-2789. Jackie from Menominee Falls, you're the first today. Welcome, Jackie. What do you got for us?
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Menominee Falls. I have a question. My ex is in the district of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and my ex said that they were a little concerned that the turnout there was like only 100 people or so, and they're afraid that some of the enthusiasm is some of the enthusiasm is leaving, and I was just wanted to know what your thoughts are, and I'm looking forward to hearing these results of this Marquette poll. Can I take the answer off the air, please?
Sure, Jackie. Thank you for joining us. A couple of thoughts. Ocasio-Cortez has, well, there's always a chance in politics. Eric Cantor was in line to be the Speaker of the House, and he lost a primary. But unlike Jamal Bowman, there's about a 0% chance that Ocasio-Cortez will lose her primary. Now, having said that, the enthusiasm currently, and according to the Marquette University Law School poll, we'll go inside the numbers with Charles Franklin in the 5 o'clock hour, the enthusiasm currently is with Republicans. And I think that dovetails with something that Joe Walsh said. I think a lot of Republicans rallied around their MAGA cult leader, rallied around Trump when he was convicted. And the enthusiasm for this now convicted felon, I mean, they're more embracive of the man. So it is strange to me that this has turned out the base. And it is a little bit bothersome to me, as Joe mentioned to us, you know, the real trials, the real criming, the insurrection, the trying to overturn the election in Georgia, the keeping of classified documents and doing with which God knows what, but certainly obstructing justice, certainly holding on to top secret documents. Well, none of those things have come to trial. And while they're out there in the nebulous, people know Trump's been accused, there are plenty of reasonable people that are waiting. And if there is no evidence, I mean, how did Scott Walker win the recall? I heard so many people say, well, if there's no evidence of a crime, you know, then it's just politics. Well, as Joe mentioned, this conviction, although in a court of law, a jury of his peers considered evidence presented, took weeks. But what I would say is, if it's not perceived to be actual criming, it's perceived to be political, and it plays into his narrative that it's all a big witch hunt. Well, it has ginned up the enthusiasm for Team MAGA.
Not just the enthusiasm, and Jackie, and thank you for the call, but
the
also
monetary enthusiasm as well.
Right, man. And I get the sentiment in the sense that if you truly believe that your candidate was the victim of some lawfare, however you define it, as they determined to define it, I can see how that would gin some people up and get them very motivated. And that's why I think it's very important that we continue on with these other court cases. Unfortunately, I don't know if the time will allow for it because these particular crimes that he was convicted on were the lesser of all of them. And we're talking about a guy that sat on his ass while his supporters at his recommendation come will be wild, attack the Capitol to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to stop the counting of the vote, yada, yada, yada. We know the storyline. Those are the most important ones. Those are the issues that directly affect our democracy and our country and our governance. Whether a guy's, you know, in fraud and not reporting his taxes right or swindling his supporters, less of an issue for me specifically than trying to overthrow the government. However, that being said, the crimes that he was convicted on, you know, were misdemeanors enhanced because they were covering up another crime, was, of course, because he didn't want the story to get out about Stormy Daniels and how that would impact the election. He very well may have saved his electoral life by doing what he did and eventually became president. I mean, maybe that would have been the straw that broke the camel's back. We will never know. So I get the point of the enthusiasm. You think your guy's getting railroaded. Sure, but he's not getting railroaded. That's the whole point. I'm down. You want to have those discussions. What specifically about the facts that the jury found him guilty in? What do you refute? Anyone who says, well, no, he didn't do it, or it's lawfare.
Well,
okay,
well the testimony given by Michael Cohen, I could actually sit here and go through what I would refute, and I'm actually on your side. But the actual evidence presented at trial, the testimony of Michael Cohen, the fact he stole from the man, there are plenty of reasons to question the outcome. Now, I give credit to the jury. I would say these are people trying to do their duty, but there are plenty of questions coming out of this trial, Dom. I mean, come on. You could argue, reasonable people could argue about the evidence presented and whether or not there was enough there to convict.
Apparently there was, unanimously. Every one of them. that we did that, and that's what they determined. And you can say, well, I don't like that, or Michael Cohen did this. You know, when you have a bunch of criminals in a conspiracy, and some of them are cooperating and some of them are not, you're going to have to deal with nefarious characters. That's not uncommon. Look at every single mob trial ever when you got someone on the inside or someone that flipped.
And okay, but we're not talking about Trump dropping dimes and having people off. We're talking about Trump paying off porn stars and playmates to not tell about their sexual tryst with Trump. That doesn't seem to have the gravity of, you know, Corleone family business, if you know what I'm saying. So okay, you can make the mobster analogy, man, but it doesn't stick.
Oh, it's not a big deal, and it's not murder, right? It's not. But he's still guilty. He still did it. He did. He did it. You know he did it. You think he didn't do it?
The nation knows he paid off a porn star, and their collective response has been to either support the man or to yawn. So I don't think anyone wants to argue the finer points of evidence in the hush money case. Damn, I don't think it's convincing.
Convicted. It's literally convincing.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a whopper of a Wednesday edition. I've been getting informed about news and sports on the text line, Dom. Crudy, Brewers win! 6-5 in the 10th. Brewers win. Thank you for that update, Steady Eddie. I was unaware until I saw it on the text line. Here's a little bit more. What medication do Republicans suggest we give our loved ones with dementia to make them sharp again? That's drug doesn't exist, idiots.
No, it's an experimental cocktail. I mean, that's why he's at Camp David doing all the practicing. They're seeing what they should, you know, still working on the formula. It's like Coke. It's secret.
Andrew from Verona says, sorry, Joe. I think he's talking to Joe Walsh. Sorry, Joe, but Trump is not just an a-hole. He's an old fat a-hole. One Big Mac away from the big one. Don't give me that crap about Joe being too old. Okay, Jeff from Sherwood's got an interesting question. How did Wanker win the recall? Question of for you from the audience, Tom. How did Wanker win the recall? How did Scott Walker win the recall in the state of Wisconsin? How do you think that was feasible?
Well, I think he got more votes than Tom Barrett.
Well, thank you for that obvious answer. But how do you think it was feasible that Scott Walker got more votes than Tom Barrett? Lived through the Act 10, the bomb he dropped on the state and the people of Wisconsin.
His policy decisions were not criminal. There was a political move by Scott Walker and the Republicans.
There was plenty of alleged criminality against the man, right? That was the whole underlying John Doe.
But not at the time, Curdy. Not at that time. That was not public information at that time. So while as time went on, we certainly become aware of that. During that time, there was no allegation of criminality by Scott Walker. Was that certainly he maybe misled the voters? You know, he put forward some legislation the Republicans wanted that a lot of people didn't want, but that in and of itself wasn't criminal. And therefore, I think a lot of people decided that, well, that's not worthy of impeachment. Like, you know, I don't know, coordinating with third party groups to get, you know, consistent messaging across individual donors from outside your campaign and your campaign itself. Things like that.
Well, that and a sweetheart real estate deal at Big Blue and some other things. And let's not forget county executive Scott Walker's entire his campaign staff was his county executive staff, right? Because they were campaigning at the county executive's office. And mm-hmm. That was known, right? Tim Russell went to jail. Few others, Cindy Archer, some pre-dawn paramilitary raids, Dom. That was not known information in June of 2012.
I don't believe so.
Scott Walker's campaign office was raided the day he was elected governor of the state of Wisconsin.
Was that public knowledge, Trudy? Did Chisholm go public with that knowledge.
Well, Chisholm never went public with that knowledge.
To go after, right, it would have killed him. It would have crushed him on the recall, right? Hey, he's also under investigation. Chisholm didn't do that. So, well, no, it wasn't public knowledge, man.
I think it was in the reporting, similar perhaps to this circumstance we find with Donald Trump. There's plenty of reporting of the illegality, the criminality of the conduct of Scott Walker when he was the governor. But never got tried, never got charged, not before the recall. And what did the people of the state of Wisconsin decide to do? Give him more votes, right? The very obvious answer I got from you, give him more votes. Can you see where this might play out again? That maybe they don't put the gravity behind the weight of the hush money to a porn star.
No, I think it's a terrible analogy. The guy's actually been convicted of 34 felony counts. Scott Walker was never even charged.
And he raised $141 million off of that.
Yeah, and?
And brought the financial campaign basically even, because Joe Biden had a huge financial advantage over the Trump campaign. But the conviction actually helped Trump catch up $140 million worth. And above and beyond that, the enthusiasm gap, whether or not you believe the Marquette University Law School polling, every indication is the Republican base is way more fired up than the Democratic base. The enthusiasm to vote. And so much of that has been inspired by the conviction at the hush money trial. So you can say conviction, and you can argue about the evidence.
Hey, let me just lay something out here, Crudy. Number one, all those things are absolutely irrelevant to the administration of justice. You know, you go forward with those when you're ready to go to trial. It's not about politics. It's not about how much Trump's going to make or not going to make, or how what the enthusiasm is going to be or not going to be. Right? They went forward with their case when the trial is. If they would have paused it because they don't want to give Trump a benefit, or if they would have paused it because they don't want to harm Trump, those are political moves. You go to trial when you're ready to go to trial. It has nothing to do, it should not have anything to do with whether or not Donald Trump can raise money or not off of it, whether or not his voters are going to be enthused and fired up about it or not. That's irrelevant to the administration of justice, man. So, okay, if that's the consequence, so what? What's the option?
What is the administration of justice that we've seen so far? He's got a negative title, which doesn't seemingly weigh him down and, in fact, enhances his fundraising.
Not gone forward with the trial, Crudy, until after the election?
I'm not sure if I would have gone forward with the trial, period, if I were Alvin Bragg. I don't know if I would have gone forward with the trial of Hunter Biden.
You have the guy convicted of 34 felony counts, and you're saying because of political reasons that maybe you would have held on to it. And I think that's a terrible
I didn't say for political idea. Reasons.
Well, what would your other reason be, Michael? He was convicted.
Judicial prudence. Prosecutorial discretion. Is the word I was looking for. I would have chosen not to charge when there are much more serious and grave issues facing the American people and allegations against the man. I wouldn't have rushed.
Not in Alvin Bragg's jurisdiction, there weren't.
Okay.
I mean, this is the local DA, man. He decides what he's going to do. Fannie Willis decide what they're going to do.
Okay, but just stop telling me what a great thing it was for America that this conviction has happened, because electorally, it seemingly is catapulting the guy back to re-election. So if this trial helps Trump win re-election and he gets, a slap on the wrist, maybe 30 days at Mar-a-Lago? Because once the sentencing comes down, dude, that's just going to exacerbate this circumstance even worse. If it was a political trial to the...
Your idea is to have prosecutorial discretion and do nothing.
I didn't say do nothing. I say bring the real charges, the real crimes.
What would Alvin Bragg have done? Nothing. Okay, so who then? Merrick Garland, you want to go back in the time machine and start charging 12 or 18 months ago? Okay, can't do that. So there is no other option other than to move forward, Crudy. I mean, as soon as Alvin Bragg laid these things out, this was the path we were on. There's always a risk that, will it fire up his? Yeah, maybe it will. We'll make him more money? Yeah, maybe. Or still, four or five months out? We'll see how it pans out. But I'm fine with it the way it is. And damn the torpedoes, man. The guy did the crime. He's going to get his conviction. He got the conviction. And the sentencing will come down in a couple of weeks. And that will be where we're at. Like everybody else, like you, like me, like Rich, like our audience, man. That's how it works.
This was exactly how any other American citizen would have faced justice in New York. Any other citizen.
No, he'd have been locked up the first time he broke the gag order. But, you know.
Sure, right. So it wasn't the same as any other citizen would have gotten. And ultimately, Dom, the Senate handed down.
Slack. Yes, of course he did. Yeah, rich white guys slacking the judicial system. Thank you for the note, Crudy.
Well, former presidents certainly seemingly do. So anyways, this decision, this, is it a great thing that he's been convicted? You know, I like labeling him a felon. I don't mind it. But I am less convinced than perhaps you are, my friend, that this has the gravity on the electorate. I am worried about the court of the public opinion. I am worried about fascism taking over the White House again and not giving it back next time, ever.
A guy because you're worried about whether or not the conviction will rile up his voters in some way, shape, or form, you've already kind of gone to fascism, man. You start making political decisions.
I don't think I would have taken misdemeanors and tried to extend them to felonies and then found a way to do so through, you know, this was a novel approach and great on Alvin Bragg that he pulled it off successfully. But to what end? That's my question. 844-967-2789. Our pal Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome back, Jeannie. How you doing, sister?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. I have to tell you, a crime is a crime is a crime. You know, they couldn't do anything to poor little Donnie when he was in office, when he was pulling all the stuff with Russia and, you know, the things that went on then. And so, oh, no, you can't charge the president. Well, he ain't the president anymore, and he needs to get charged with every gall-darn crime, and I don't care if it's election or not. He shouldn't even be running. He's a crazy man, and people that are idiot enough to vote for a criminal like that have to have their heads examined, and we'll get what we deserve. That's why we got to get the word out and keep fighting back. So keep it up, guys. I'm so glad you're there. Thank you for the work that you do. I appreciate it.
Jeannie, have a good evening. Well, thank you, but let me point out, I think my guy Bernie Sanders is coming up to your neck of the woods as soon as Friday, maybe.
Huh?
Yeah, I think Bernie's coming up on Friday, perhaps. I saw he was going to be at Stevens Point, and then he's moving on to, like, the Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area.
Are they going to do an interview with you, I hope? That would be wonderful.
Well, I don't know about that. PBS is coming to our party tomorrow night. One of the shows is coming to the Barrymore Theater to kind of get a sense of the crowd and the fun party, the pre-debate party. But no, Bernie will probably be more important. Bernie will probably get the interview at the Bernie rally, not Crudy.
Well, I would love to have you guys have him be on your show. That would be so great.
Oh, I would love to get Bernie. See, I thought that was a different question you were asking, Jeannie. Like, why aren't they interviewing Crudy? Well,
no, I thought Crudy could interview Bernie.
There we go.
We've had Bernie. Bernie's been on the show. Jeannie, thanks for calling. 844-967-2789. Been too long. You know, our pal John Nichols wrote a book with the man. You think he could hook us up? Let's keep going. Joe from Madison, you're next. Welcome.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, Crudy. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't matter. The evidence you said was not convincing. People will look at this and say it's not convincing. It doesn't matter. 12 jurors were convinced. That's all that matters. And they were convinced
charges. I admire those that served on the jury. I admire those that did their civic duty. But ultimately, it is about democracy, I think, about, you know, winning the White House. And if Trump wins the White House because he was propelled by this, and it seems so strange to think the guy's doing better because he's 34 times convicted. But apparently the court of public opinion says these were not real crimes, not in the same way that I think the insurrection was. But your thoughts, Joe?
I think we can't take a poll of the United States and say that that's justice. We have to do justice in a courtroom, and that's all that we have to rely on. If we feel that fascism is walking down the street and heading on to the White House in the form of Donald Trump, that is a whole other discussion about how one tackles that, because it was not just paying off a porn star. It was paying off a porn star to shut up about their liaison. It was using fraud and lying and stealing in order to make sure that that porn star didn't talk before the election. And that is about our election, and nothing is more sacred. It is mafioso to try to bust up an election. It is wrong. And what those jurors did was the right decision. And it was the right decision because it 34 times they said, yes, he broke the law. I hear what you're saying, Crudy, but we got to just keep going forward on showing the difference between the candidates. And if he's getting a buzz now, the election's a ways away, okay? And we don't know what the charges are going to be in terms of the sentencing. So let's look at that and then go from there. Thanks, Crudy.
Well, thank you. No thanks for Dom.
I think she's speaking for me a little bit. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, as always.
Folks, we're at the Devil's Advocates. I never speak for you, Dom.
Thank you.
I occasionally speak over you, through you, around you, but never for you.
At me, but not for me.
I do like to put words in your mouth. Yeah. Mostly made up words. Gobbledygook. But it's very hard for the audience to discern the difference. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. No gobbledygook allowed. 844-967-2789.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to Devil's Advocates Radio. Cell phone lines open, going there shortly at 844-967-2789. You got to make sure you stick around for the happier hour. Our pal Bill Press going to roll in at 5 o'clock. And Charles Franklin going to go behind the numbers on the New Marquette University Law School poll at 5:30. So get your calls in and text in right now, 844-96-PARTY.
Dom, I'm checking the text line. Annie from Watertown trying to chastise me. I'm not taking it, Annie. Jeez. People think the crime was paying off the porn star. Maybe because you keep saying it. It was the lonely campaign law that was passed to protect democracy. That's not true, though. That was not what the conviction was for. And in fact, that might have been one of the laws broken that would ratchet up the misdemeanor cook in the books from a misdemeanor to a felony.
The enhancer, yes.
The enhancer. But he wasn't charged with breaking campaign finance laws. He was charged with cooking the books. And he was convicted, but that ain't the same. So if I'm talking about the payoff of the porn star, because that was effectively what was alleged to have been the violation of campaign finance law that kicked the enhancer up. But he was not charged with breaking campaign finance laws. Sort of put it out there in the ether, but they never really clarified. Here is another texter. For those of us dealing with parents, dementia, like today, it's offensive what they're saying. Yes, that's from Annie, I believe. Mm-hmm. I am sure someone will call as well. Democrats need to stay on message. Trump wasn't convicted of paying off a porn actress, morally repugnant, but the crime was falsifying business records. Kenneth from Stoughton, at least you're right on the crime. That is true. That is what he was convicted of. Now, a few point out. The vast majority of Trump's donations come from just a handful of billionaires. It's not like he's getting some massive grassroots donations. Of the $141 million he raised after the conviction, it was grassroots. It was. It was under $200 per donor. He's getting it from people who do not want their taxes increased, period. That might be true of a super PAC, but every individual donor giving to a presidential campaign has the same campaign finance limits that we all do. They get around by giving it to Save America PAC in the different PACs. So the billionaires certainly do support the man. But the $141 million raised, that was from individual small dollar donors primarily, just so you know. That sign of enthusiasm.
Let's see here. 844-967-2789. A billionaire donor, Timothy Mellon, largest donor to the PAC supporting Trump and independent candidate Kennedy, an heir to the Mellon family empire, donated $50 million to Mega Inc., the primary super PAC supporting Trump on the day after his conviction.
So 50 of the 141 million is one individual. Is that factored into the math?
That would be my assumption of what I'm seeing here. Yes.
That was not my assumption because I've seen it represented differently, but I'll look it up. 844-967-2789. Matt from Johnson's Creek. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hello, Matt.
Hey guys. Crudy, I get you're, you know, you're worried, but, and this would be a good question for, Dr. Franklin, that, is enthusiasm really what's going to win him, or is it going to be bringing people in? Because these last two elections, or I'm sure this one will be the same, have been decided by less than 100,000 votes, right? I get that his base is enthused and is ready to go out and, sure, send him $200 here and there, but is it really going to bring in the people that he needs, the people that weren't already going to vote for him? That's why I'm not as concerned that, you know, the MAGA masses are all up in arms and super excited to defend their guy at the ballot box because they were already going to do that.
How yeah, but a lot of the
34 convictions.
Matt, here is my theory, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm sometimes right. The low propensity voters here in the state of Wisconsin actually started with Scott Walker's recall. People were apparently outraged. They didn't think there was justification to recall the governor because there were no criminal charges. I tried to make this analogy prior. Dom didn't like it. But it was low propensity voters, people that don't usually come out and vote. And they jumped on the Trump bandwagon in 2016. A lot of outstate people that don't usually vote came out and said, let's try this outside guy, this Trump guy. Now, there was certainly a revolt in 2020. We all saw it. Joe Biden won the state by about the same margin, like 21,000 votes. But the enthusiasm for not Trump has sort of waned. Like the enthusiasm on the Democratic side, you know, people are going to vote for Biden. I'm going to vote for Biden. Dom's going to vote for Biden, even if he's in a jar, he keeps claiming. We're going to vote for Biden, but that doesn't mean we're enthusiastic about it. And the low propensity, lean Dem, I'll vote Dem if, you know, the weather's nice and I don't have too much traffic on election day. Well, I am less convinced that the low propensity Dems are lining up for Biden, and I am far more convinced that the low propensity Republicans are lining up for Trump. That's what the convictions changed. That's my fear.
I'm not sure that there are those low propensity Republicans anymore. This is not an outsider anymore. You know, these are known commodities. I just don't see how this changes anything.
Fair enough, man.
Matt's saying that the low propensity voter is no longer low propensity. They've now become full on mega supportive. So maybe they've gone to that well already.
Well, I'm less clear that they came out and voted for Trump in 20, right? We heard Ron Johnson describe the math. 51,000 undervotes on Wisconsin ballots. People that voted down ticket for Republicans, but didn't vote at the top of the ticket for Trump, right? Ron Johnson told us the math. That's why Biden won. Although he was still more than supportive of the January 6th activities. The coup, if you will. Talking about putting someone's balls to the wall, I hope. There are some indictments against that man coming. We got fine guests coming, including Bill Press, our buddy, next.